Part 3 of the Life of God in the Soul of Man. I have hitherto considered wherein true religion doth consist, and how desirable a thing it is. But when one sees how infinitely distant the common temper and frame of men is from it, he may perhaps be ready to despond, and give over, and think it utterly impossible to be attained. He may sit down in sadness and bemoan himself and say, in the anguish and bitterness of his spirit, they are happy indeed whose souls are awakened unto the divine life, who are thus renewed in the spirit of their minds. But alas, I am quite of another constitution, and am not able to effect so mighty a change. If outward observances could have done the business, I might have hoped to acquit myself by diligence and care. But since nothing but a new nature can serve the turn, what am I able to do? I could bestow all my goods and oblations to God, or alms to the poor, but cannot command that love and charity, without which is this expense would profit me nothing. This gift of God cannot be purchased with money. If a man should give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt. I could pine and macerate my body, and undergo many hardships and troubles, but I cannot get all my corruptions starved, nor my affections wholly weaned from earthly things. There are still some worldly desires lurking in my heart, and those vanities that I have shut out of the doors are always getting in by the windows. I am many times convinced of my own meanness, of the weakness of my body, and the far greater weakness of my soul. But this doth rather beget indignation and discontent than true humility in my spirit. And though I should come to think meanly of myself, yet I cannot endure that others should think so too. In a word, when I reflect on my highest and most spacious attainments, I have reason to suspect that they are all but the effects of nature, the issues of self-love acting under several disguises. And this principle is so powerful and so deeply rooted in me that I can never hope to be delivered from the dominion of it. I may toss and turn as a door on the hinges, but can never get clear off, or be quite unhinged of self, which is still the center of all my motions, so that all the advantage I can draw from the discovery of religion is but to see, at a huge distance, that felicity which I am not able to reach, like a man in a shipwreck who discerns the land and envies the happiness of those who are there, but thinks it impossible for himself to get ashore. These, I say, or such like desponding thoughts, may arise in the minds of those persons who begin to convince somewhat more than the nature and the eloquency of religion than before. They have spied the land and seen that it is exceedingly good, that it flows with milk and honey, but they find they have the children of Anak to grapple with, many powerful lusts and corruptions to overcome, and they fear they shall never prevail against them. But why should we give way to such discouraging suggestions? Why should we entertain such unreasonable fears, which damp our spirits and weaken our hands? and augment the difficulties of our way. Let us encourage ourselves, my dear friend. Let us encourage ourselves with those mighty aids that what we expect in this spiritual warfare, for greater is he that is for us than all that rise up against us. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are all the everlasting arms. Let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. God hath a tender regards unto the souls of men, and is infinitely willing to promote their welfare. He hath condescended to our weakness, and declared with an oath that he hath no pleasure in our destruction. There is no such thing as dispute or envy lodged in the bosom of that ever-blessed being whose name and nature is love. He created us at first in a happy condition, and now, when we are fallen from it, he hath laid help upon one that is mighty to save, hath committed the care of our souls to no meaner person than the eternal Son of his love. It is he that is the captain of our salvation. And what enemies can be too strong for us when we are fighting under his banner? Did not the Son of God come down from the bosom of his Father and pitch his tabernacle among the sons of men, that he might recover and propagate the divine life and restore the image of God in their souls? All the mighty works which he performed, all the sad afflictions which he sustained, had this for their scope and design. For this did he labor and toil, for this did he bleed and die. He was with child, he was in pain, and hath he brought forth nothing but wind? Hath he wrought no deliverance in the earth? Shall he not see of the travail of his soul? Certainly, it is impossible that this great contrivance of heaven should prove abortive, that such a mighty undertaking should fail and miscarry. It hath already been effectual for the salvation of many thousands who are once as far from the kingdom of heaven as we can suppose ourselves to be. And our high priest continues forever and is able to save them to the utmost that comes unto God by him. He is tender and compassionate. He knows our infirmities and has experienced our temptations. A bruised reed will he not break, a smoking flax will he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. He hath sent out his Holy Spirit, whose sweet but powerful breathings are still moving up and down in the world, to quicken and revive the souls of men, and awaken them unto the sense and feeling of those divine things for which they were made, and is ready to assist such weak and languishing creatures as we are, as our essays toward holiness and felicity, and when once it hath taken hold of a soul and kindled in it the smallest spark of divine love, it will be sure to preserve and cherish, bring it forth into a flame which many waters shall not quench, neither shall the floods be able to drown it. Whenever this day begins to dawn and the day star to arise in the heart, it will easily dispel the powers of darkness and make ignorance and folly and all the corrupt and selfish affections of men flee away as fast as before it as the shades of night when the sun comes out of its chambers. For the path of the just is as the shining light, which shines more and more unto the perfect day. And they shall go on from strength to strength, till every one of them appear before God in Zion. Why should we think it impossible that true goodness and universal love should ever come to sway and prevail in our souls? Is not this their primitive state and condition, their native and genuine constitution, as they came first from the hands of their Maker? Sin and corruption are but usurps, and though they have long kept possession, yet from the beginning it was not so, that inordinate self-love, which one would think were rooted in our very being and interwoven with the constitution of our nature, is nevertheless of a foreign extraction and had no place at all in the state of integrity. We have still so much reason left as to condemn it. Our understandings are easily convinced that we ought to be wholly devoted to Him from whom we have our being, and to love Him infinitely more than ourselves, who is infinitely better than we. And our wills would readily comply with this if they were not disordered and put out of tune. And is not He who made our souls able to rectify and mend them again? Shall we not be able, by His assistance, to vanquish and expel those violent intruders and turn unto flight the armies of the aliens? No sooner shall we take up arms in this holy war, but we shall have all the saints on earth, all the angels in heaven, engaged on our party. The Holy Church throughout the world is daily interceding with God for the success of all such endeavors, and doubtless those heavenly hosts above are nearly concerned in the interests of religion, infinitely desirous to see the divine life thriving and prevailing in this inferior world, and that the will of God may be done by us on earth as it is done by themselves in heaven. And may we not then encourage ourselves as the prophet did his servant when he showed him the horses and chariots of fire? Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be against us. Away then with all perplexing fears and desponding thoughts, to undertake vigorously and rely confidently on the divine assistance is more than half the conquest. Let us arise and be doing good, and the Lord will be with us. It is true, religion in the souls of men is the immediate work of God, and all our natural endeavors can... It is true, religion in the souls of men is the immediate work of God, and all our natural endeavors can neither produce it alone, nor merit those supernatural aids by which it must be wrought. The Holy Spirit must come upon us, and the power of the Highest must overthrow us before that holy thing can be gotten and Christ be formed in us. But yet we must not expect that this whole work should be done without any concurring endeavors of our own. We must not lie loitering in the ditch and wait till omnipotence pull us from thence. No, no. We must bestir ourselves and actuate those powers which we have already received. We must put forth ourselves to the utmost capacities, and then we may hope that our labor shall not be in vain in the Lord. All the art and industry of man cannot form the smallest herb or make a stalk of corn to grow in the field. It is the energy of nature and the influences of heaven which produce this effect. It is God who causes the grass to grow and the herbs for the service of man, and yet nobody will say that the labors of the husbandman are useless or unnecessary. So likewise the human soul is immediately created by God. It is He who both forms and enlivens the child, and yet He has appointed the marriage bed as the ordinary means for the propagation of mankind, though there must intervene a stroke of omnipotence to effect this mighty change in our souls. Yet ought we to do what we can fit and prepare ourselves? For we must break up our fallow ground and root out the weeds, pull up the thorns, that so we may be more readily and more receive the seeds of grace and the dew of heaven. It is true God has been found of some who sought Him out not. He has cast Himself in their way, who were quite out of His. He has laid hold upon them and stopped their course on a sudden, for so was Saint Paul converted in his journey to Damascus. But certainly this is not God's ordinary method of dealing with men. Though He hath not tied Himself but to means, yet He hath tied us to the use of them, and we have never more reason to expect the divine assistance than when we are doing our utmost endeavors. It shall therefore be my next work to show what course we ought to take for attaining that blessed temper I have hitherto described. But here, if in delivering my own thoughts I shall chance to differ from what is or what may be said by others in this matter, I would not be thought to contradict and oppose them more than physicians do when they prescribe several remedies for the same disease, which perhaps are all useful and good. Every one may propose the method he judges more proper and convenient, but he does not thereby pretend that the cure can never be effected unless that be exactly observed. I doubt it hath occasioned much unnecessary disquietude to some holy persons, that they have not found such a regular and orderly transaction in their souls as they have seen described in books, that they have not passed through all those steps and stages of conversion which some, who perhaps felt them in themselves, have too pretemptory prescribed unto others. God hath several ways of dealing with the souls of men, and it suffices if the work He be accomplished, whatever the methods have been. Again, though in proposing directions, I must follow that order which the nature of things shall lead to, yet I do not mean that the same method should be so punctually observed in the practice as if the latter rules were never to be heeded till some considerable time have been spent in practicing the former. The directions I intend are mutually conducive one to another, and all are performed on occasion shall serve, and we find ourselves enabled to perform them